If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
Don't shy away from making big swings and big bets. You will figure things out and have the right complementary experts and partners to complement you once you have the right opportunity in your plate.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Himmel is the founder and managing partner of Exponential Equity. Himmel started his real estate investing career in 2012 and founded Exponential Equity to focus on his passion of helping busy families achieve financial freedom through fantastic opportunities in commercial real estate investments. Prior to establishing Exponential Equity, Himmel provided management consulting services to several Fortune 100 companies across three continents while creating a portfolio of businesses that he scaled and exited, including an outsourcing company and a private lending firm. Himmel lives with his wife and twin children in Charlotte, North Carolina, and loves golfing, music, and reading. Folks, this is somebody you should listen to. In just a little under 3 months, Himmel has taken his multifamily investments from zero to $25 million. Okay? That's in just 3 months. He's built a team. He's built partners. He's built acquisition partners. This is all in 2020. Yeah, he started investing in 2012, but he really didn't start investing in commercial assets until 2020. That's incredible. So this is somebody you should listen to if you want to scale your real estate investments into something big. Tune into what Himmel has to say. Himmel, welcome to the show.
Excited to be here, Sam. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, this is awesome. This is awesome. You're doing big stuff in the real estate space, and I'd love to hear all of it, but in 15 or 20 minutes, if possible, can you kind of give us the where you started, where you are now, and how you get there or how you got there synopsis?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm always excited to tell that story. So where I started was came from a management consulting background and a financial banking background. So worked with a lot of Fortune 100 companies, helping their CEOs scale, helping their CEOs pivot to new structures, new systems, new brands, new positions in the market. So really, when it came to my calling of owning a business, came from a family of business owners as well. When it came to my calling, it was real estate, and I really wanted to internalize all the competencies that I had built in terms of building a good long-term business, sustainable brand, not just transactional stuff. So started in the residential space actively or passively first in since the last decade, built a nice little portfolio of residential and land across the Carolinas, and then started actively in terms of flips. A couple of years back, really scaled up that business, but became another job. So really decided to jump into commercial. And we look at multiple asset classes, multifamily being primary. We do new development, existing stuff, you know, B and C class assets in the multifamily space, but also look at office buildings. We look at hotels, pretty much anything that is against the grain that people don't want to overbid with 50 other people and it's not cookie cutter. We like to dabble our hands into it and really understand what that entails and make our investors some money. So that's where we are in terms of numbers, just in multifamily. We've got about, over the last 60 days, we've got 400 units across three acquisitions actively. And before that, we invested into three acquisitions passively. So really started this year, and we've got about close to 800 units active and passive, another 600 units under contract across the Carolinas and Texas. So excited about those and really, really looking to build up on the momentum we have over the last few months in terms of a company.
So when you listen to your story there, there's a, you know, some gaps in it that I'd love to fill in.
Because yeah, absolutely.
You obviously had a corporate background where you took, you know, helped CEOs and large people scale their companies on that front. And then you said, hey, look, now I think I'm going to pivot into real estate. So what was the timeline on that? How did you guys select your asset classes? How did you educate yourself? How did you pick those? I mean, there's so much to know here. I just want to know kind of what your thought process was and how you logically progressed through that.
Yeah, it was, I'll tell you a little story. I love telling this. Seemingly the most tragic day of my life turned into the event that completely shifted my mindset, right, in terms of where I'm spending my time. So I was on the corporate world, as you mentioned, you know, managing director, you know, really looking at vested stock, working 80-hour weeks away from the family. Every week I'm traveling across three continents. Great gig, great people to work with, lots to learn. But one evening while I was up in Northeast, I got a call. I have five-year-old twins. And when my daughter was one, long story short, she had a skull fracture. And, you know, I physically couldn't just be there with the family, you know, for a few hours. You know, I had to drive back to the airport, find the first flight, head back home, really in a very, it's unfathomable, that feeling. I can't even describe it at this stage even. But that, you know, it all turned out to be great. She didn't need any surgery. She's a sassy five-year-old right now and doing great, right? But allowed me to just introspect on what we need to do with our time and not just money, right? Where am I spending my time? What is the type of businesses and revenue streams that would allow me to be where we are at the most important places, right? And having the importance of experience over things, having the importance of not traveling too much and just chasing work and the rat's race. So that allowed me to shift into thinking first with changing my jobs into the financial sector, working from home even before COVID, and really then building on the thinking of what is that business that will allow me to do that. So that became real estate. And multifamily actually just this year, you know, I figured that when I was flipping houses, again, it was taking too much of my time. I'd built quickly a team of employees, both international and here. But again, that type of transaction was just sucking up too much of my time. So I said, am I going into another job? Am I in my business or am I running my business as a CEO? And what would allow me to do that in this world of real estate? So 2020 is just before COVID hit, 2 or 3 months before I just started my journey. And I'm a man that has a bias for action. So really invested into education, events over the first 2 or 3 months. And just as COVID hit, started saying, you know, let's take action. Let's start passively investing. So in the midst of COVID, I had my first investment in April, actually, of this year. Passive investment, and just went from there, got experience in 2 or 3 passive investments while building a consortium of partners and a team and a brand and a business around things, and started active acquisitions since September this year.
So I just want to point this out. We're recording this in November 30th. This is being recorded on November 30th, 2020. So if you want to listen to a guy that's taking action, Himmel is someone who is doing that. Because you just started your active investments, you said, in September is when you guys first started putting
out? Yeah, our first closing of our first 208 units was 1st of September of this year. And end of September, we closed another 128 units. And we're going to close another 14 days, another 64 units. And then we've got about 500 units under contract.
Wow. Okay. You're going like gangbusters. I love the action. Give us some clues in kind of how you're funding those deals, how you are underwriting them, industry partners. Like, I mean, that's incredible growth. I mean, you know, for anyone, that's incredible growth. So hats off to you. Just walk us through how you're doing that.
Yeah, it's some basic principles on scale, right, that I'd learned from other Fortune 100 companies that I've interacted with. And one, you got to have the right partners, right? If I'm not a construction industry person by any means, and my wife doesn't even trust me with a nail gun in our house, that's not going to happen, right? Or at least will take me 5-7 years to learn the ins and outs of that. So knowing your strengths, knowing your limitations, what you bring to the table, and then complementing yourself with a consortium of partners across multiple asset classes or different types of assets that you want to have is the first one. Second thing, you know, I enjoyed incredible credibility in the market just because of my experience in the corporate world. So when I was putting in on my own investment, asking someone else to say, hey, you know, I'm putting in $50,000. I don't want to lose my $50,000. 20 people would jump in and say, yep, that Hemel's vetted the deal, so it makes sense, right? So that's while we were building our underwriting expertise. So that was the second thing, is making sure you have skin in the game. You're ready to take the seeming risk associated with any investment, right? Whether it's real estate or otherwise. Third thing was investment in education, right? You know, without being overwhelmed, there's a lot of podcasts and webinars and meetups, and it can get so much overwhelming in terms of information. And my approach was, I have to find one or two mentors that is really aligned to the vision and values and how I want to scale, how I want to build a brand, and really chase that mentorship and invest in the education, whatever that amount is. And then coupled with actionable experience, just making sure we get into some of the transactions and make sure that we are in those weekly calls and not just doing the theory stuff, right? We're actually managing the property, actually doing the due diligence alongside to gain that experience. So that those three things have allowed us to build the momentum, and very, very grateful for that.
Right. And so I guess, you know, you said you relied on really your industry partners, you know, from past businesses to go to them and say, hey, look, this is a deal I think we should all invest in. So for you, that's absolutely key. And not everyone's going to have that necessarily, but I think they can replicate what you've done with the industry partners. You know, how did you vet your industry partners? How have you vetted them so quickly? I mean, you know, that also is a crucial skill to learn. And again, you've done it quickly. So what was your kind of thought process there?
Yeah. And in terms of, before I answer that, just in terms of the money, yeah, the first deal, you know, the people were close friends and family that would typically invest with you. But after that, once you prove out that what you are doing makes sense and is the right model from an investment and return on investment and risk reward perspective, we've been just grateful to have so many new connections in this world of social media and just LinkedIn, Facebook as our primary platform. So many people have reached out to us to invest with us. So yeah, again, grateful for that. Yeah, in terms of operational partnership, it was, what do you bring to the table, right? Most of my partners are with a couple of decades of construction industry experience and really understand the value of what needs to be done or have done multifamily quite a few times before. And again, my philosophy was not to, I like to turn left when everybody's turning right, right? So for me, it wasn't every opportunity that we bring to the table has to have some level of creativity to it, whether it has to be completely off market or has some level of distress. Because what I found out was in this market currently, if you just buy a cookie cutter investment opportunity, there's just going to be so many people across the country or even internationally interested in it that you would not be able to pay the right disciplined amount from our perspective that we would be paying. So you tend to overbid, and which is okay if the market continues to go this way, but that's not how we play or invest with our own money, right? So that's where we combine that. Having partners that have decades of experience, understanding what they're doing, what they've done before, vetting out their investors, really testing them from a vision values perspective to see if they take any shortcuts or, you know, they're doing the right things all the time. Right? Because things can, giving bad news, things falling south, anything could happen in any investment you make. And having the partners that are upfront from a communication standpoint and have the right ethics and values is super important.
So what do you guys bring to the table? Is it the financing? If you're finding, you know, good operating partners, if you're finding guys that know how to source deals, if you're finding, what is your portion of the deal then?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we took a three-step process, right? Again, I didn't want to wait in terms of action till we build our business ground up, right? Sure. So my vision is to build a vertically integrated company in the Carolinas across multiple asset classes, owning the property management and everything soup to nuts. So first step was transacting in passive investments. Second step was bringing some capital to a couple of deals. Third step was building an acquisitions team. We now have four people in our acquisitions team. We evaluate about 100 deals a month and really have started finding great off-market deals or broker relationship deals that make sense for us to take soup to nuts. And in that 6 months, we invested. I have a primary partner who invested a lot of time in learning about the operations with a couple of big mentors and really understanding soup to nuts. So all our future deals typically would be the ones that we are running primarily the asset management, the operations, finding the deals, and also typically finding the capital.
So when it comes to the acquisition side, you said you have four people who are in-house now doing acquisitions for you. How did you come up with that number of four? How did you train them? How did you, I mean, were these people that you just stole from other, and I use that term loosely, but the, are they people you cross-hired? We'll use that word. Are they people you've cross-hired from other businesses? How did you vet them and bring them on board?
Yeah, they're all across the board, man. It was, they had two things going for them. One had real estate acquisitions experience, whether they one of them was a broker, a couple of them were from a flipping wholesaling side from a residential standpoint, and one person was a multifamily acquisitions person that I cross-hired. Well, and you know, he became a partner in our firm. Our model is that everybody grows together, right? So we're not looking for short-term transactional people. The way we want to scale is to do at least one deal every 60 days and a large one at that stage. So for us to have, you know, three or four levels of due diligence in just the underwriting, we needed, you know, lots of hands and arms and legs and brains to kind of look into deals. So that's where the four people came into play. And then, you know, as each opportunity comes, we do a almost what is known as a retrospective in the technology world, right? We kind of come back together every week and say, okay, what didn't work in this underwriting model? So we've made a customized model that we've invested in. You know, we have a couple of models going on. So that vets out every, you know, when we look at 100 deals a month, 80 of them we want to flush out pretty quickly and not waste any time on those. So allows us to run things in the first 20 minutes or 30 minutes, let the acquisitions team say no to a deal and kill the deal. If it passes that first round, then it comes to me and my operations partner, Yomesh. And from that standpoint, we then go into the deeper analysis and underwriting and work with them, challenge them on their assumptions, et cetera. And that's kind of the model we've built in as multi-step due diligence that we've systematized over the last few months.
That's absolutely fantastic. So what a way to grow. Like, I mean, you guys have really taken the bull by the horns and, you know, mastered what a lot of people spend years developing and processing. Have you made any mistakes in this, not necessarily financial ones, but kind of process mistakes that in 4 to 6 months you'd say, man, I would do that differently, or I wish we hadn't, but now we will do this instead?
Oh, man, more than I can count. And that's the way we learn, right? We've lost deals because we were uber conservative. We've lost deals where we've retreaded to be more disciplined, or we found something that we could have lived with. We've had a couple of partners that, you know, as we tested out the vision and values and we were actually doing due diligence with in a property or two, that we would like, okay, these are not the right alignment of values and how we would look from a fiduciary responsibility to our investors, having the right collaborative partners with. Fortunately, none of the mistakes so far have, you know, led to my own financial risk or my investors' financial risk. So that's the addendum. And that's why we institute so many processes and steps and challenge each other, right? Our goal is to kill an opportunity till all of us can give it a thumbs up. And that means, you know, there's so many opportunities that most people would say yes to, but we say no to.
Right. Man, that's fantastic. Himmel, let's jump into the final four if we can here.
Sure. And
if you were to distill everything you've learned up to this point down to one single piece of advice, and you're giving this to an aspiring investor, what would that one piece of advice be?
I have a bias for action, right? Without that, everything else is just theory. If you're a passive investor, you got to make sure you at least vet out and put your money in one opportunity, understand the process. If you're an active investor, don't shy away from making big swings and big bets. You will figure things out and have the right complementary experts and partners to complement you once you have the right opportunity in your plate.
Gotcha. Man, that's great. When it comes to investing in yourself, what's one thing you're doing to stay on top of your game?
Lots, right? I've always had two coaches. So one from a real estate standpoint, one from a mindset standpoint that I would continue to have. I'm always a learner, lifelong, trying to figure out how to learn a new language at this stage, and also some musical instrument as well. But with five-year-olds, that's challenging. So we'll put it in the back burner for a few months at the very least. But yeah, always my vision again is to, the biggest expense professionally that I would make every year would be investing in myself. And the biggest expense personally I would make is investing in experiences with my family, you know, vacations and whatnot.
Right, right. Oh, that's awesome. And when it comes to investing in the world, what's one thing you're doing to make the world a better place?
Yeah, again, giving back through real estate, right? So right now we are looking at our Exponential Equity, our brand has Exponential Giving campaign. We're looking to help people with tax foreclosures or, you know, tax delinquency, pay that back. And at some point, when we reach a certain point of scale, we'd love to buy a lot of land from a tree planting perspective and climate change perspective as well. So we want to keep all things around our giving back as related to real estate as well.
Man, that's awesome. And if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm pretty active on Facebook and LinkedIn, Hemal Badiani, and then our brand of www.exponential-equity.com. You could always schedule a call with me there, and I would love to connect and talk about all things real estate.
Hemal, thanks so much for your time. Certainly appreciate it today.
Yeah, thank you so much, and really excited and to interact with you here.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.